Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I don't wanna see my mother cry. When you black, it ain't no other side. Your death is like my brother died. Moment, helping hand, loan it. The troops not here to pacify. The struggles in my nuclei. Won't it change a man to a dangerous man? Especially when the bangers change in hand. Survival evolving black men into another clan. But there's...
Chill with us. It's not your regular hip-hop album. It's a comedic satire inspired by the late, great Bill Withers. Rest in peace.
Don't offend me with friendly fire. Don't like your energy, cause men be liars.
Don't offend me with friendly fire. I want to smoke. Don't like your energy, cause men be liars. I want to smoke. New attendees will then be biased. I want to smoke. Don't like your energy, cause men be liars. So, what the hook is saying is a lot of times you have people around you that have bad energy. Don't offend me with friendly fire. Like, they try to act like they mess with you, but they don't. It's another ulterior motive. I'm saying I want to smoke. Like, man, don't act like you mess with me. If you don't fuck with me, let's just get it over with right now, man. I want to smoke. A lot of times people are biased because they don't like that you see things your way. They want you to see it their way. So you gotta want to smoke from people. So people watching will understand and dig deeper on why a situation is. But most people won't dig that deep. So you gotta want to smoke, because that's how you weed out the people who are playing versus the people who are serious. Oh, you a gangster on the inside? Well, I don't like your energy. A parrot in this mimicry. Cut coke, sell crack, hard on black. But watch police kill Phil and you ain't hard on that. What I'm saying is you project this imagery of being this old tough gangster type dude. But I don't like your gangster. I don't like your energy. You know, double entendre, energy, energy. A parrot in his mimicry is like basically you just doing what everybody else do. You just a cliche type person. You know what I'm saying? You ain't really genuine. You go hard on other people that look like you ain't doing so well, but when there's an opportunity to stand up and fight for your people, you ain't hard on that. But you hard on me for not wearing Jordans or having a fake chain or having a busted bitch. You hard on that. But when it's time to go hard on something that is empowering to you and your people, you're nowhere to be found. But you forgot you was a Jew. Started acting like a nigga. Look what this has come to. As black people, we the chosen people. It ain't one chosen people, but we lost our way. We lost our identity, and we accepted an identity that was given to us as opposed to being what we are and what we label ourselves. And that's what the world has come to. It's like, how you gonna be self-defined when you didn't create the definition of who you are? Look at what it comes to. A new identity, hoes and male clothes, with them new hostilities. We don't define who we are. We just start making stuff up along the way. You gotta know who you are. You don't wanna be out here guessing. You wanna figure out who you are, because if not, there's hostilities that come with being confused. And that's your problem if you don't know who you are. But don't make it everybody else's problem. That's your problem you gotta deal with by being diligent and doing the work it takes to figure out what's going on with yourself. Headshots. In my car with a bizarre Asian. White coupe, the car is Caucasian. On a star blazing. So in my car with a bizarre Asian, you know, Eastern philosophy is very bizarre to people who just chase money. Eastern philosophy is based on culture and family. So I'm in a vehicle with a different way of thinking. I'm thinking about family. I'm thinking about culture more than I'm thinking about money. So in my coupe with a bizarre Asian, it's just a reference to having an Eastern philosophy and putting the people that you love over money. The car is Caucasian. So basically saying that even though I got this Eastern philosophy, I'm hypocritical because I'm in this white man's car that I bought. That's a symbol of status. And I think it's a car, but it's really a Caucasian. I'm really supporting white supremacy by buying this car. It's something that's benefiting that agenda more than it's benefiting mine. But I feel like it's benefiting mine because I feel like I bought it and I own it. But it's really more beneficial to that cause than mine. That's been Friendly Fire, produced by my boy Dunk. Duncan Pender Hughes, one of the best dudes out here on production. Aaron Ryman, shout out to Duncan. Check it out.
I have a question. How well would you take care of your car if you had to keep the same one your entire life? That's how brains work. Our brains work the same way. So why don't we treat our brains as well as we treat our cars? How well you treat your brain affects how you see life. So it's extremely important to invest time and care into your mind. Look at me. Look me in the eyes. There are plenty of ways to invest in a healthy brain. Learn a new language, laugh, or you can go to BetterHelp Online Therapy. I had a gig one time, and I thought it was my gig. I was prepared. I bought new clothes. I rented an apartment. I told everybody in my family, I got a new gig. And the day before the gig, the job called me and reneged the offer. When I tell you I was devastated, I was distraught. And a friend of mine recommended BetterHelp.com. And I got the help I needed. It helped me relieve my stress and see things more clearly. Sometimes it's hard to solve a problem when you're in the middle of it. All you have to do is go to BetterHelp.com and you can find someone that'll give you another vantage point and a way to deal with it. BetterHelp is online therapy. You can do video chat, live chat, or talk on the phone. And let's face it, it's a lot more affordable than traditional therapy. Just go to BetterHelp.com/Craig, get 10% off your first month, and be matched with a professional within 48 hours.
I mean, I was always taught, you put your hands by your face, that's saying hit me. You do like
him a target too.
You saying hit me because your hands is right here and the hands ain't out to do nothing.
You know, so talking community center talk. You know that you know they at the boys club. Yeah.
But I mean that's what they the I mean, if you look at like club. European boxing, like Russian boxing, any type of boxing like that, they teach you to keep your hands up.
Yeah.
Whether you go to Cubans or you go to France.
Right.
And they're here. But the most dangerous fighters are fighters you can't see their hands because you don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So if you look at any like dangerous fighter in the history of like black fighters, Death Row, you got fighters like Sugar Ray Robinson. His hands was always here.
Right.
Always ready to slide back. Throw big right hands and hooks. If you look at Judgey Joe Walcott, his hands is always here, but his defense was him shifting.
Right, right. He kept his shit moving.
Yeah. Ali, his defense was pulling back.
You know what I noticed? A big difference, because I watch a lot of fight footage too. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
One of the evolutions I've seen in boxing is the defensive retreat. Like when I watch a lot of those old fights, like Ray Robertson, I felt like they pulled straight back a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now in this generation of fighters, I feel like everything is circle.
Circle, yeah.
Circle. You know what I mean? So talk about who do you think caused that evolution? What fighter do you think changed it from backing straight up to circling? Is that Ali?
No, it's actually, I would say Sugar Ray Robinson. Or you could say Willie Pep, you could say Max Baer, because it was circling. If you look at Max Baer actually walked. He's a Jewish fighter I watch.
Yeah.
He would walk and fix his pants and backhand your shit.
Yeah, oh wow.
But walking in circles has been around, but it's like now fighters, they do retreat and they move left and right. You used to fighters retreating and coming right back into some action like a Sugar Ray Leonard. He would slide back, but he had let off 5 or 6 punches.
Right.
It's changed with the coaches. The coaches are teaching, all right, get away and I'll move.
Right.
They're not teaching like slide back and slide back again and make them think you're going to slide back and run them into some shit.
Right.
That's where the scientific part of boxing comes out, where you ain't got boxing coaches no more. Where you ain't got teachers no more. You got boxing coaches and like strength conditioners and shit teaching boxing.
I'm going to name a fighter. Tell me why he's underrated. The Beast Mugabe.
He's underrated because he wasn't marketed over here in America. People don't really know about him in America. I say America's like a big boxing country, but then again, it's not.
Right, right, right.
It's like it's now it's big boxing because it's like who's hot, like the Jake Pauls or Javante. But right. It's not like a boxing country. Like they actually care about the essence and the importance of boxing, the history behind it.
What country do you think really cares about the sport?
Man, well, you got countries that are built off of it: Cuba, Puerto Rico, Russia.
All the poor places.
Yeah.
Communist countries. Boxing's a big deal.
That's a good point. Communist countries.
Anywhere where cayenne pepper is a major season, it's nigga.
Here you go.
Yeah.
That's where the term hot came from. Yeah. Hot.
So how often do people mistake you for a Japanese man?
Man, all the fucking time. Actually, one time, man, I was at the gas station. No, I was at a Target. I was about to whip homeboy, but I had to get myself together, but I checked him. I had the mask on because it's during COVID, and I was taking a while online. I had a long day at practice. I'm just taking my shit and putting it up there, and he says, hurry up, you fucking chink. So I turned around. I'm like, who the fuck are you talking to? I was like, and he looked at me, and he realized, like, oh, shit, he's not dad, he's black. Yeah, he's African American. So I was like, I want you to apologize. Motherfucker's crying in my face. I'm sorry for calling you a chick.
Yeah. I would have found a random Asian person. Like, look, man, he said this. It was meant for you. Right. Apologize to him because you're probably going to say that to him later on.
We had no time for none of that.
Nah, racism.
Everybody start clapping.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You got to have a cameraman with you for that. That's a PR to the. He's a hero.
Times you need it the most, you don't have it.
That's real spill. Yeah. Okay, so the Beast Mugabe could have been marketed better. Now, he's somebody that if he fought in this era, you guys probably would have fought, right?
I mean, we weren't the same weight class, but Mugabe, you would stay away from. Mugabe ain't no joke. Mugabe had power in both hands. And I say he's like a legend over in England, but people don't really follow up the boxers who are from England unless it's like Prince Nassim or Anthony Joshua or one of the Eubanks. But if it's like a name like Mugabe, you're talking about going back into like, what, early 80s, late 70s, that's a big name.
Now, I have a cousin who feels like when a black fighter doesn't have a black trainer, he's at a disadvantage.
Man, you know what? That's crazy because sometimes it's like, it's I hate to say it, but it's truth to the stereotype and then there's lies to the stereotype. So for instance, like they say a Hispanic trainer can't train a black fighter because what Hispanic in boxing have a different type of rhythm than black fighters have.
Right.
Even like when we dance at a different beat than they dance at. Yeah. So it's like when you're training, they're used to, most Hispanic fighters fight east and west, rolling and slipping, putting pressure. They don't fight in and out. Like brothers fight in and out boxing and slip. Because we fight off what? Our strengths. Usually if you're fast, elusive, and athletic, that's how you're going to fight. Right. You're not going to fight here unless you're strong and you're built durable to take punishment like that because Hispanic fighters, they're going forward and they're going to get you. So they're pressure fighters. Black fighters known for what? Inside, outside boxing, out being slick. So if you have a Hispanic coach who knows one type of boxing, he can't really touch that type of boxing that you know. But sometimes it's different because guess what? My coach is Puerto Rican.
Mm. 1 second. Are we live?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check and see if we live, y'all. Okay, so you said your coach is,
My coach is Puerto Rican.
Biggest difference between, because Puerto Ricans are, you know, a lot, some of them don't consider themselves black, but a lot of them are black. Is their philosophies, like is your Puerto Rican trainer's now philosophy similar to Emmanuel Stewart's, or is it something completely different?
It's the same. He's a brother, but he just talk funny. Like, he don't say vinegar, he say vinegar.
I'm sure that's on.
Huh? It's not live, man. Hold on. 1 second. So you might be on the other. Damn it.
It's okay. If not, that was a good run through.
That belt was heavy.
How can you come up here?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, supposed to be.
You know how to do that?
Who's usually on the show? Okay. Right, who's usually right here? Him?
It's my second time,
right? Oh, okay, I know.
Yeah, no, like usually getting Eagle Rock.
Okay.
Make sure you save that. Go back in.
Out of box. What up, man?
What's up, bro?
Yeah, everything's been good.
They're in the show right now.
So you say he's a brother, he just say vinegar, vinegar.
He don't say vinegar, he say vinegar.
Vinegar, that's hilarious.
He's crazy, man, yeah.
Okay, because look, but Puerto Ricans have their own distinct style of boxing, right?
Yeah.
So they're, you know.
Got to think about it. How different is Benitez to, say, Sugar Ray Leonard?
Right.
Not too different. You look at the boxing now, it may be different, but you look at Benitez back in the 80s and 70s, that's why he fought Sugar Ray Leonard at the time he did. He fought him. He shouldn't have took the fight. He hadn't been training, and it wasn't a fight he shouldn't have took, but everybody he fought up until that point, he blew through him. He was slick like a brother. You cannot hit him. He'll sit on the ropes, and he'll roll off all your punches.
Right.
His chin straight up like this, and you can't hit him.
Right.
It's our brother's fight. Arrogant, looking at you like, what you going to do about it?
Right, right.
That's how he fought. So my coaches teach that same type of boxing, which is like when to take risks and to be a dog behind it, but to work smarter, not harder. So it's like perfect. Goes hand in hand with the boxing. You know what, too? It's the jump topics, but it's like with the fighter's race, it really don't matter as long as the mindset is like, okay, we're both on the same page as far as what I'm trying to do. If right. you're a black fighter and you want to be a pressure fighter like Mike Tyson, you may have a Hispanic coach, an Italian coach. Right. Customado.
So you said Spanish and Italian, very similar. Forward fighters press you.
No, I said ego trying me. I ain't say Spanish and Italians are the same. I said Italian coach. Italians are more boxers. I say Italians are more boxy in and out. They like how their cars are.
Right. I have a question.
What's up?
Because you brought it
he
up.
He said, like how their cars are.
Yes, in and out.
Because, you know, when you watch a lot of boxing,
the
announcers, your Jim Lampies and all them, they're very quick to big up, you know, the Spanish-style fighters and the different style fighters. But you very rarely hear them talk distinctly about the black American style of fight.
You don't.
Why? Well, you know, what? And it's the style of fight that dominates the world. What, yes. Like, talk to us more about that style of boxing and what it is. Because it doesn't get the credit that it deserves, but it's a style that everyone, that no, can't nobody match.
You're right, but even like with that, my style is like, I say a black style, but it's a throwback. It's a different style than what you'll see now. What you right. see now is like, breaks off and remnants of like Floyd Mayweather's.
You see a lot of when I see you, I think Ali.
See, I appreciate it. Ali.
You bounce like Ali in that ring. But you dancing, know, be honest, smiling.
Like, that's like, I fight like that depending on my opponent. So I'm a boxer puncher, which means I change my style depending on my opponent. Most brawlers are brawlers. Most boxers can only box.
So you like Mayweather where you don't have to particularly study your opponent?
Mayweather is, like, I would say I'm not like Mayweather because he's different. His approach is, like, you know, to react, which mine is as well, but it's different. It's like hooping.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whether he left hand or right handed, some people's approach is to hit the paint immediately or to send it off.
Right, right.
So you fight kind of like Andre Bishop.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
Yeah.
We got to tell you about this nigga.
So from Fight Night.
This nigga's a real boxer.
I ain't play fight.
You don't play.
I was playing. I was really out there fading.
Yeah, you were. I hate ring king.
I played Fight Night one time and broke my TV and I was so mad. I threw the whole.
You got slept.
I was mad. I was like, I would have never got hit with that shit.
Hey, are you on any of the games yet?
Man, I was on one in England, but they wanted me to sign like this crazy contract or something. I forgot what it was, and I was like, "Nah, I'm cool."
What?
Yeah,
man, that'd be dope.
It ain't a
yeah, no, man.
It'd been dope, but it's like, I'd rather do this shit real life.
Yeah.
I mean, some people can do real life, but it's like, versus playing a video game, I'm throwing hands.
Okay, so we got Roger.
Yeah.
Keep your hands moving.
Yeah.
Keep your hands moving. Fuck with the rhythm.
Manny Stewart.
Okay, so now we go to his big brother.
Oh, Floyd Sr.
Now friend. We go to your uncle. Or your cousin or your uncle,
cousin.
Right?
But cousin, I call okay. him uncle because he's older, yeah.
So now I would think that the differences between them would be very small because that's who taught Roger.
No, very big differences between Jeff Mayweather, Floyd Mayweather Sr. and Roger Mayweather.
Shout out to Jeff. That's my nigga.
Hey, Jeff is, man, true story, right?
Jeff is humble,
so,
bro.
Man, Jeff... went to line my hair cut up right. He took my whole eyebrow off. Then he tried to put it back with a Sharpie. I said, you can't be doing my shit like how you do your shit.
He tried to give him that Heine eyebrow.
Hey, but
that's crazy.
Hey, shout out to Jeff. But see, Jeff was a straight boxer. Jeff really had power, but his quickness was what got him around. Floyd Sr., he had snap.
He had snap. You guys are similar.
Yeah, so like I say, his snap. I'm snappy.
Yeah.
He had snap when he fought Sugar Ray Leonard. Nobody knows, but I think he had got shot like in the leg not too long before that fight. Mm. And he wasn't even supposed to take that fight. He's in there giving Leonard the business.
Bouncing,
he just wasn't in shape.
Shit out
but
there,
he was
Jeff.
Sharp. Floyd is very sharp like a Bruce Lee. That's how Floyd's, well, Floyd Sr. is. And then Floyd Jr., he's all them wrapped up because he can box, he can put snap, or he can put power. Because Floyd's not a one punch. Boom.
Right, right.
None of his uncles was. But his uncles was what? Snappy.
Yeah.
Quick. And what?
Shit, fast.
Exactly. And that's what Floyd is.
Yeah.
Exactly. Snappy, pop that power to get you drunk, and you're like, oh, shit. And then by that time, he already behind you whooping your ass again.
Okay, so, right. So Roger, we got hand movement.
Yeah.
Floyd Sr., what
snap.
Do we have?
Snap.
So snap.
He was Chris about snap. Floyd would hold his hand like this and tell you to jab. So the way to get perfect snap is... to relax and last minute tense up at the end.
Oh,
that's a snap. Yeah, like Bruce Lee, pow. It's a snap at the end. So you have to relax your body and be calm in order to snap. That's why if you look at him, he's like, he talked nice and tight and relaxed. When I say tight, you're not actually tight. When I say tight, it's like if you had to be inside a silhouette, your body should be like this.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so like terms. Tightness don't mean
Yeah, it just mean being
tightness
yeah.
mean tight and right, like get your shit together nice and you ready to go. Like, as if you about to
Draw
you ready, you ready. So it's your draw right here. And man, but like even Manuel Stewart, what none of the Mayweather's taught me, and Manuel Stewart taught me, your first defense is what? Your hands. If you look at a lot of crunk fighters, they fight that style here. You gotta make it past my hands to hit my face. And before you make it past, after you make it past my hands, you gotta beat my feet.
Right.
So he taught me your first defense. Most people try to slip and do all this crazy shit. Your first defense is your hands. You look at Sugar Ray Robinson, Benny Briscoe. Klitschko, use your hands out there. You open your hand up, it's like a boxing mitt.
Right.
So at that point, when people throwing punches, you hand patting.
Catching the motherfucker.
Hand patting their ass.
Yeah, I never even
thought. And Floyd, when you look at that Floyd Canelo fight, every time Canelo thought he's about to do something, Floyd had his hands out
here. Yeah, keep your hands up.
Fighter
has to make it past. You look at old school fighters and they had their chins up. They had their chins really down because they knew that in order for you to throw a punch, you got to make it past my hands. So you weren't worried about no punches. That's the science behind it, but boxing's changed since then. But I still practice the boxing where I can have my hands right here in my chest.
Because of your athleticism.
Athleticism and me knowing boxing, I can touch your elbows for you throw a punch. You got to move your elbow to throw a punch. If my hand is like this, you can't throw a punch. Right. My hand is like this on your elbows. Look at my hands are open.
That's some he told me yesterday, if you give me 10 minutes, I can teach you enough to whoop any nigga. And I already got.
You look at George Foreman, right?
Yeah.
George Foreman mastered the technique where everybody looked at him as a brawler. He has a doctor's behind making you go which way he wants you to go. So, like, the only way I can explain it, I'm going to show you because you big. Come on. Get
up. Hold on. Let him get you in frame. You get him in frame when they get up? They might have to back up a little bit, huh?
I ain't watching
this
damn talk.
Damn. He ain't do nothing, bro. No. He just left. Yeah.
He's missed all the layers.
Clean gutters.
So Blaze, we about to get Blaze. Cause look, this nigga think he, this nigga think he could whoop Tyson.
I mean, he is big as shit. I know he's just big. He might be able to. All right, so we about to fight, right? Say you want to touch my chest with that right hand. So go ahead and throw right hand in my chest. Do it again. You can't throw right if I just touch your elbow. Even if it's not hard, it's just brushing you off. Throw right hand to get in my chest. You feel me? So people don't realize with Foreman, he would do this with your hands to make you throw. So when you throw your jab, throw that jab. You hear, he's stepping in. So people don't use the push technique. Mine has to be right here. Yeah. You can't throw a punch. Don't throw a punch. That's why old school boxing gloves had thumbs on.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, wow.
You know, change that rule? Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard. You know what else both changed in that? It went from 15 rounds to 12.
12, yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard did all that in one night. He changed the whole
thing. In one night?
Hold on, we're going to get into that right now. So, So you're saying, look, go back to what you were saying right before you sat down.
What, Sugar Ray Leonard changed?
About how the changing the rounds. Oh, yeah. How all that.
So that happened when Marvin Hagler fought Sugar Ray Leonard. The rounds went from 15 to 12, and they went from thumbless gloves to the gloves who have thumbs attached. That was the benefit of Sugar Ray Leonard. And they made it a bigger ring. I think it's supposed to be like 12 by 12 or something, but it's like 15 by something crazy. It was a big-ass ring. You look at the fight, Sugar Ray Leonard is moving. Like he's supposed to the first 5-6 rounds and holding. Now, Hagler is what? He's a pressure fighter. He's a bully. With thumbs, you can grab people with them gloves. You don't realize that, but how I grabbed your elbow? Yeah. Can you imagine pushing as hard as you can and I grab your elbow? Yeah. That's going to tire your ass out. Yeah. And what did Hagler do? Hagler's here. He's thumping on your inside, so he's trying to. He's gonna use his hands to make sure he gets inside you. When he gets inside, it's over with.
Yeah.
So best thing you could do is put them new gloves with the thumbs attached, so your hands gonna move so much.
I didn't know that because it's funny. It always seems like boxing had a special interest behind that fight.
Oh,
because the way they did Hagler, and Hagler did the right thing. You know, I'm retired, man. F this. I ain't dealing with this. It seemed like everything was against him that night. I didn't even realize.
Oh, it was from the paycheck to him getting that fight. Hagler worked his ass off to get to that point. He was
like
never
10
getting
years, wasn't
he? He was never getting. They booed him when he won the world championship over in I think in the UK. They was throwing hot dogs and bottles. Yeah, because he's always an underdog. Because what, he's tough. You got to call him. Like, he changed his government name to Marvelous to get that respect because he wasn't getting the respect he deserved in real life. Wow. So he says, if I put Marvelous in my name, literally,
they got to respect.
They have to say, call me Marvelous, because he wasn't getting the respect of Sugar Ray Leonard, who was really, you know, Marvelous.
Right.
Marvin, like Marvin Hagler was fucking marvelous, but he had to change his name because the game wasn't giving him the respect he deserved. He's fighting on these cards, and he's like, how come I'm making $100,000 and Sugar Ray Leonard is making $5
million? Right.
This ain't right. And we both, we got the same record, same way. What's the difference?
That phase should have happened in 81, 82.
Man, you know, it's the politics and the people pulling strings behind boxing, just like at the job. Maybe you should have got the job, but strings pulling, we're going to give him the job.
Right.
What you going to do? Because it's you against them now.
Do you think Sugar Ray Leonard ran from Aaron Pryor?
Hell yeah, everybody did, especially when he's on that dope. Yeah, when he was coaching, hey, everybody know when he hopped up and he said, "Give me the other bottle." Something's in that bottle.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck what nobody says. Yeah. I don't know. Hey, RP the legend, but something was in that bottle.
Yeah, Sugar Ray, that's when he had that Lori Lightfoot afro, the little mini afro.
When the Hulk, when he pointed at you across from that ring, you knew you about to be fighting your ass off the whole night. He going to be in your chest. He going to be in your yes, yes all night, right there in front of you. Mm-hmm. That's an awful fight. He ain't going to let you breathe. He ain't going to let you think. You can't even wink. Can't do shit.
That's that dope boxing for sure. You ever seen two bass heads fight? Man. The zeal and the intensity is incredible.
It's amazing.
It's over for
crazy
the
part. It's in spurts.
And you hear this in a lot of the bass here. Now, I'll be right back. Yeah. That's okay, motherfucker. I'll be right back.
Ain't going nowhere. Just walking. I'll be back.
The closest I came to that is seeing Autobots get angry.
Yeah, man. Hey, so, okay, cool. So from Roger, we got moving your hands. Yeah. From Floyd Sr., we got snap.
Yeah.
Snap is when you keep your body loose right before you hit your target. Imagine Bruce Lee.
That's what he transferred over to boxing. That's the type of technique he taught. Relax and snap at the end. Like, flow like water. Water can flow into any instrument you put it into.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
next we got Emmanuel or somebody before Emmanuel?
Emmanuel Stewart.
Okay, so talk about the differences in Emmanuel as opposed to your cousins.
Well, Emmanuel taught, your first defense is your hands and then your feet.
Okay, we went over that, right? Yeah. Okay. So and who's after Emmanuel?
I would say, before any of those guys was Hank Johnson. Hank Johnson taught me to shift my weight a 6-inch punch, which is like a Joe Louis knockout punch. Joe Louis mastered the 6-inch punch where he could throw a punch this far and knock you out because he's shifting his whole body into the punch. So at this point, he's not hitting you with his hand. His hand's the vessel. He's shifting all his weight and hitting you with nothing but just dead weight. Mm. But it's so calm, you don't think it's nothing on it. And you just, you know, I'm going to eat this. And he puts you to sleep because everything's on it. Mm-hmm. So, like, Joe Louis, he mastered, it's called the 6-inch punch. Mm-hmm. Punch only had to travel 6 inches for him to knock you out. So, how do you stop a punch like that? You can't. You look at anybody, they either knocked him out or he knocked him out.
Right.
So, my coach taught that. And you know what? I almost left him because for 4 months, we practiced nothing but this 6-inch hook. And I'm like, man, I ain't about to knock nobody out with this shit.
Yeah.
I'm hitting this bag. And it looked just like this. It's just a little, just a shift, just like this. I'm just shifting my feet. Yeah. Man, I went to this tournament and won my first national title, knocked this Puerto Rican out the first day with it. Boom. He knocked his dick in the dirt. He fell dick first. Boom. Yeah. And my coach said, see, I told you.
Yeah. The shit you thought that wasn't going to work.
Hey, that's usually what it is. The shit that you think's not going to work is going to work.
Yeah. What was going through your head in the transition to using that motherfucker?
He's like, talking to the mic.
Oh, my bad. What was it?
Put it back on there so it's the level.
He told me to hold it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, just keep it up there.
So, like, what was the transition going before? Did you doubt it before you threw the motherfucker?
Nah, you have to, like, obliterate doubt. You have to destroy doubt. Mm. Doubt don't exist. It's just shit. You ain't got doubts when you ain't got no doubt when you back there shooting dice with the homies. You shooting strong. Right. Everything. Baby needs shoes. Wife needs clothes. You shoot the motherfucker. Same way with boxing. You just gotta roll the dice.
Question: do you think you can knock one of his strong ass teeth out in 6 inches?
Who?
Is that his? Look at his mouth. Look at his teeth. You think you can knock a tooth out in 6 inches?
Shit, knock his tooth out. Shit, I give you a neck, I hit your ass so hard.
You heard him? He said, gonna give you a neck.
That's it. Knock your head off your shoulder. Okay, so the Puerto Rican trainer you have now is the one who taught you the 6-inch punch.
No.
That was the first trainer.
That was the first trainer. The coach I got now taught me this walk, which is called, it's the Max Bear walk. So my coach I have now is he's a southpaw. So if you don't know, like southpaws in the 80s and 90s, they're very slick because they fought at an angle. Everything's at an angle. Like in the middle of their body, they ain't square like this. They're at a complete angle. So they're only giving you this side of their body because the other side is over here. You can't get to it. This side, you can't get to it. Me and you fighting, I'm not fighting you like this. I'm fighting you at a slick angle. Now, look, all you see is this side.
James Toney.
James Toney, but he's orthodox. This is more like a Pernell Whitaker.
Right, right.
Slickness.
Sweepy, yeah.
Sweepy, fighting at an angle. So him being left-handed, he's teaching me a whole, I'm learning boxing, but from the other side.
Right.
Of a southpaw boxing. It's completely different because they don't throw, jabs. They throw hooks.
Right.
And, you know, his mindset behind it, this is crazy, but he's like, he thinks it's because, you know, the earth and gravity and how the earth is tilted. That's why southpaws don't jab like this. They hook because they're just, they're pulled to throw this way. They don't fight. If you flip an orthodox fighter, they don't fight that way. They fight a completely different way than an orthodox fighter. It's completely different. It's crazy. It's completely different. Like hooping. I'm pretty sure motherfuckers who are left-handed, they be doing moves and shit that's way different than a right-handed person because it works for them that way.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Wow. So like, how do you, what made you pick this trainer? What was it about him?
Man, I didn't pick him. Like, boxing is like, boxing choose you. Anything in boxing, you don't pick. It chooses you. When it's time to, you have it. No matter how hard you fight, how hard you train. If you're not supposed to have it, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So, man, I went through these coaches, and I'm like, man, I keep getting dealt a bad hand in coaches. And the crazy thing is, he saw me before I saw him. I was fighting, he said, I was fighting a couple years ago, and he saw me on TV, and he talks like this. He's Puerto Rican, but he's from Hawaii, and he moved to New York.
That's hilarious.
So, all the islands. So, he's a Caribbean island.
They think he thought he was a baby Samoan growing up. Like, man,
how come so, like, everybody else?
Yeah, like his voice. He'd be like, make it more better, Sims. Make it more better. That's how he talk. So, he told me, he was like, Sims, I saw you on the TV, and I'm like, I'll train that kid. That's the only kid I know I could train because of the boxing. Like, I'm going to go back to my voice, but because of the boxing that he knows that's the only person that he'd be willing to train because we understand the same boxing. But he said, there's little things that's off, but you're doing a whole lot of shit naturally that you don't even know. There's a whole nother world of boxing he opened me up to because every coach that I had besides Emmanuel Stewart and Hank Johnson and Rogers and the Mayweathers would tell me, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Don't do that. When actuality is right, depending on the coach because they know how to use this. If you don't know how to use it, then you see it as a flaw. In actuality, it's a weapon.
It'd be equivalent to somebody, you know, he see bullets, then all you got to do is put them in a gun. But when he see you with the bullets, you throwing them at people. Yeah. Bullets don't work. Yeah. Put it in a gun and shoot it, you stupid motherfucker.
Right. It's like a good basketball coach. Like, a good shooting coach is going to let you keep your form. He's going to modify the form that you have. He's going to change somebody's form.
He's going to add. But a lot of times now with these coaches, they've gotten popular, have gotten known with this type of fighter, this type of style. So they try to put that on you because that's what they know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. That's why Roger said, motherfuckers don't know shit about boxing.
That's real tough.
Yeah.
And we're going to play a song from the Chill Never Withers, man. We're going to play Bitch Ninja.
What?
It's Go a song? Ahead and play Bitch Ninja. It's a song from this LP I put out called The Chill Never Withers. It's called Bitch Ninja. Did you find that? Yeah, you didn't find it, huh? Okay, let's see here. Hold
I'm gonna see this. So what be your mindset behind fighting Mike Tyson? What you gonna do? Keep him in reach?
Well, hold on. I think we'll come back. 1 second, my bad, Champ. No, I want you to ask that on camera.
Oh, okay, for sure.
I want you to really grill him.
You ain't criticism. You let a man cartwheel and punch you and said you wasn't living with him. They show out around you. Won't do a thing about it. Thugging and harmonizing. Watch them sing about it. You have a white mind. You think blacks are lazy at mixing Kool-Aid with their white wine. And that's the thing about it. Can't even talk to you. Ghost of a real nigga. Watch me walk through you. You fight your girl, man. Cuss out the mail, man. Go to jail, man. Become a trail man. And that's the thing about it.
That's a good title to a song, but it ain't like a song.
And I don't think about
you a bitch, nigga.
You a bitch, nigga. You probably fuck around and try to kick it.
Can they hear
it? You a bitch ninja. You probably fuck around and try to kick ninja. You a bitch ninja. You a bitch ninja. You probably fuck around and try to kick ninja. You a bitch ninja. You a bitch ninja. You probably fuck around and try to kick. I'm telling you, it's trains. And I know what you'll say. You run way back over there and say shit's happening today. The money, the ops, the drop. But I ain't no dope dealer and I ain't running from no cops. And why should I? I'm so hard to find. If I had to hire a private eye, because I'm a private guy.
He's making like this for you.
Everybody knows what I did. Not even my kids. I didn't say that. Blood on the bib.
Don't pay anything like this for you, man.
She was good for the dishes. And to buy some fries. Call me when you get on. Because I'm a punk. Though I'm not a good father, I'ma need my chunk. You a bitch ninja. You a bitch ninja. You know what you do. Probably fuck around and try to kick ninja.
bitchman. You a bitchman. You know what you do. Probably buck around and
yeah. So for the next song when we play it, I wanted to play with the mics off. You know what I mean? All right. So they can just hear the song. I don't know if that's possible doing it.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, cool. So we'll get back into it and then I'll tell you when to play the next one. Okay, cool. All right, so we know the homie been calling out Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
asked him. You had a question for him.
I said, "What would be your mindset to beat Mike Tyson?"
What would be my mindset?
Yeah, like, what's the plan?
Oh man, I
Oh shit! Hey, every press conference I've seen like this.
Greasy edges.
First, I'm gonna eat right. I'm gonna be on a good diet.
then I'm gonna take my glasses off.
Let him know I'm serious.
You never show up on my motorcycle. I know I'm gonna do that. Got to be cool.
Got to be cool.
All right, so I need to hear this. He's talking about he gonna whoop Mike. I need to know.
Yeah, man. I don't need no plan. I mean, you know, when you practice.
Too cool. See, like, this is my professor, so, like, I know, I've seen this. I've seen these answers before, so I'm just like, I'm listening because I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I do, man. You know, I'm already fueled, man, since he, you know, he whooped the boy on the airplane. That dude was a crack factor, man. And I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? He got a right to listen to whatever podcast he want to.
Yeah.
Mike picked on him for that, man. So, you know, I don't like bullies, man. And
I say Jab got to be his number one.
I mean, it's like, I won't call it bullies. Like, you know, people purposely fuck on Mike Tyson. Like, I didn't fade it. People purposely fuck on me. And they say, you know, you should have done that. You're a bully. Yeah. He's fucking with me. Well, I'm fucking with none of y'all. Right. So, like, if I was on the plane, he lucky. Yeah. Mike was nice to him. So I ain't going to be nice. Yeah.
No. You're agile. Mike can't fit between them little lanes. And no. Like, get in and out them lanes, nigga, and knock you up, wake you back up.
What are you saying? I didn't see the outcome be this way. So I know it's 50-50 because with that type of confidence and knowing what he know, he ain't saying what he going to do, right, then he might be able to do something.
Right.
That's what he said.
See, I'm the manager right now talking for him. That's how this usually go. When they say that shit, that's when the manager got to come and say he's ready. He's been training all week. He's ready.
He's ready.
When Blaze does this, it's over. Like, when he puts that up. That.
Who do that?
When he do that?
He be doing that? Okay.
What? Hell yeah.
I say, so he signed with Jay-Z too? Okay.
They go here killing us today.
Yeah. I'm just asking. I didn't know because I'm like, okay. So that means like he signed with Jay-Z Promotions because that's what they do.
Yeah, right.
Okay, cool. So we just finished talking about the trainer.
Yeah.
And how y'all hooked up.
Yeah.
So y'all first fight together, was there chemistry or you had to build that chemistry?
Me and Ricky's?
Yeah.
Man, that shit was hilarious. My first fight with him was in Dubai.
Mm. Okay.
Actually, you know what? I had almost slapped his coach at a gym, so I could say that was almost my first fight because, like, Ricky was there and he told me chill out. But my actual first fight was in Dubai when I fought for the WA title I have with me. We're in the ring and he told me, "Hey, Sims, don't get a speeding ticket." That's what he said when he told me slow down, right? So I'm in the middle of a fight. I'm like, okay, I got you. And he kept, like, his thing. He says a whole fucking fight, which is so dope. I've never seen a coach do this. He recites, like, mafia movie sayings the whole fucking fight. Forget about it. He's a Fugazi. Forget about him. The whole fight. You can hear him from the corner. It's by the beam, boom. He's a dead. Forget about him, right? But it was amazing, this connection we had. Because it's the first time I didn't feel alone since Emmanuel Stewart or Mayweather or Hank Johnson passed away. Because my fight before that, when I fought for the WBO and I lost, I had a coach who tried to leave the day before and catch a flight out because I didn't give him 20% as a manager.
Right.
And he was a coach. He wanted more money, so he left.
Right.
So ultimately, he showed me that this paper is more important than our relationship, which I've known him for 20 years.
Right.
Wow. You know, I grew up without a father, so a man that's been in my life for that long as far as my boxing life,
man,
that I believe in. Every time I go in here and go to war, I'm going off of what he told me. Yeah. And then to flip on me like that,
made
me doubt everybody around me. It made me see everything for what it was. So you know what? Speaking on it was a blessing because now, coach, I got never do that shit.
I bet you beat
He don't let me walk by myself at a fight. He with me all the time.
Yeah.
Sims, we got to walk more better. We got to go do this, Sims. Always calling me, asking me. This is what he always say, which is crazy. Anybody know me know I don't like do like any crazy type of drugs and shit like that. But he always call me, be like, Sims, you ain't doing heroin, are you? I swear to God, all the time, like at least once or twice a week. You smoking no crack, are you? I said, coach, like, you was up in New York in the 80s, not me, okay? He be sitting around and say, you don't shoot no heroin between your toes, huh? And he don't do no drugs and nothing like that, but he just always calling me, asking me crazy shit, because usually fighters have some crazy type of addiction behind closed doors. That's what makes us crazy in the first place. You feel me?
Right. Niggas shoot heroin between their toes.
Oh, yeah.
So they can hide the marks.
So they can hide the needle marks. They shoot their legs. They won't shoot their arms and shit.
Wow. Yeah, I heard somebody in boxing say the hardest thing with boxers, with dealing with fighters, is getting fighters into the fights and getting them, because they be into all kind
of
crazy
stuff. You got two types of side of fighters. You got fighters who, like, you know, they have demons that they'll never talk about, so they got to use something to kill it.
Yeah.
You got fighters who attack those demons head on and you see it. Like you would say Muhammad Ali, he didn't go and start using dope and they stopped him from fighting.
Yeah.
And they blacklisted him because he didn't want to go to the army. What did he start doing? He started going around and talking to kids and became a magician and used his gift on the world.
Right.
Most fighters don't do that.
Right.
Like, unfortunately, like Alexis Arguello, he killed himself. He became, like, I think, president of his country, like, or he became, like, mayor or something big.
Something. He's in politics for
and I guess, like they said, he never really dealt with, you know, him, like, giving up boxing or whatever the case was or losing. It was it's awful, but you got two types of fighters. Fighters who can deal with that shit, to deal with that demon and use it, and then fighters who... Usually it's the crazy fighters you see on TV all riled up. There's something deeper behind that shit.
Right. Because
we fighters, we ain't got to act like that. We about to fight. I ain't got to act all crazy, talk to you crazy, and tell them to kill your mama and choke you and all this. You know, you look at Mike Tyson now, you see Mike Tyson now as a man. He was dealing with hell. You feel me?
Yeah, he was.
But at the time, y'all just see him like as this crazy, just raging bull who's just like, can't be controlled. He's not listening. He's dangerous. Not knowing everybody fucking... poking him and fucking with him and trying to cheat him and steal from him around him.
Was Manny Pacquiao on steroids?
What? I mean, he got a head like Barry Bonds, bro. I don't know if he on steroids. Shit.
Man.
I ain't gonna lie, his head about the same size as his.
Oh, that's crazy.
No, for his body, his calves and his head is huge. You like a little cartoon figure running around.
I bet that fight you had when the trainer left you the day before, I bet you beat the shit out that dude.
No, man, actually, that's my one loss. That fight was awful. I'm fighting my first world title. I'm fighting a South American killer. What we call those South American killers, most people from South America can punch. They got this natural strength that's just like a wrecking ball hitting you.
Right, right.
You look at, like, I can't think of fighters right now, but... Yeah, man, he hit me in the fourth round. I'm like, Coach, what round is it? Well, it's the eighth round. I thought it was the fourth round. Like, he hit four rounds out of me. It's the first time, And he had these, you know, crazy part was, like, it's like the unseen. But usually, you know, you bring your gloves to the fighter. You have, like, you send them to the promoter. And then they bring your gloves out when it's time to look at your gloves a day, 2 days before. Yeah. His gloves was already used. But I'm fighting for the Latino title, so I can't really say much about it. I'm just like,
you can be the non-Latino and get the Latino title?
So my mother's Cuban, so that's what allowed me to fight for the Latino title. So, and my father's African-American, mother's were Cuban and Native. She's Cuban and Native American, a rapper ho. See, I can crack jokes about that shit later. Yeah.
You got to give head to get out this track.
I'm from head,
you're a lifetime member, but I mean, if you suck the dick,
ain't got to fuck with me. I had to rap a ho.
I got a question.
Yeah, they're across the street from our tribe, man. Mm-hmm. The Smack-A-Ho tribe.
Smack-A-Ho tribe. I got a question. What was your thoughts on the drunken master, Emmanuel Augustus?
He talked about that.
He was Floyd Mayweather's hardest fight. He was a master because he did all that, but if you dissect that, there's a rhythm
of
being unpredictable. That's the rhythm. Boom, it's a rocking. So no matter what you do, anything that's coming this way, I'm going this way or this way with it. And eventually you get the punch net where you think I'm going to be at versus where I'm actually at. And you get looking fucking stupid because you punch in air because you think I'm going to be over here, but I done broke the rhythm. And now I'm doing this shit and I'm stopping and doing weird shit. You know what I'm saying? My body locked up and you hit me and I bounce back and hit you. You like, you know.
Yeah, I thought the judges took a lot of fights from him.
Of course.
The way he acted.
I mean, people fear what they don't understand. That boxing is something he created. How anybody else going to understand it? Right. So it's a beat inside his head that nobody else can see.
Right.
What fighter's rhythm was hardest for you to get?
I was fighting him?
Yeah, like I just can't dial into this much.
Montana Love, he's a big fighter right now. He's like, he fights like maybe 145, 147. But when we was kids, we used to bet like donuts and like 50 cent honey buns for fights, because he lived in Ohio, I lived in Indiana. So when we had regionals, we would meet, and we knew once we go there, we going to nationals, we're going to whoop everybody.
Right.
Because I've seen him in nationals for like 14, 15 years straight as a kid.
Right.
So it's like, this is my partner now. Man, we fought when we was like maybe 10 or 11, man. And my mom was crying, his mama crying, because we best friends, but we had to fight because I got bigger and now we're in the same weight class.
Right.
But like, we was different because we both had like crazy mamas, but I had the materialistic things I needed. He did it. So like his mom, you know, he came up rough. He came up the hard way. So he used to come like and carry a pistol into the weigh-ins. He's 12 years old carrying a big ass pistol in the weigh-ins, taking off a peacoat with Jim Jones braids and tattoos. But he 12 years old. It's no fucking lie. You can look at these pictures. Montana Love. Anybody know Montana Love now? They don't know the Montana Love back then. Montana Love now is like happy with this little dog and smiling and shit. Yeah. When we was kids, everybody was scared of Montana Love because he carried a pistol and he was grown as shit.
Yeah,
he was grown.
Right.
So we fought and ended up beating him. He's a southpaw, but he fought. He would check hook. So he gave you like the idea that he was here because he put all his weight on his front foot. And when you go to throw the punch, he changed all his weight from his front foot to his back foot, almost like a fadeaway.
Yeah, right.
You think it's there, and then when you're trying to jump at, I already dictated how far I'm about to go back. You ain't gonna be able to beat it because I already outthought you.
Right.
So that's how like it was always hard. He's always a step ahead of me being a southpaw. He's always sliding back, and I'm coming to him.
Right. Right.
It's like a linebacker waiting for a running back every time. You're going to be on my move because you got to make the move I make.
Right, right.
I got the rock, so it's all for me. Cause you know what I'm saying? I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
So I was coming to him trying to get him, and, man, I beat him. But it's the hardest fight I ever had because it's like I thought I was three steps ahead of him, and he had beat me every time.
You ever thought you killed somebody in the ring?
Yeah. Many times.
See, I just keep trying, you know what, to kill
motherfuckers. Many times I didn't put motherfuckers to sleep and woke them back up. You know you could do that, right? If you hit a motherfucker and you knock them out, like almost when they out on their feet, don't hit them again, because you hit them again, they might wake back up.
Yeah.
And they be like brand new. You know that?
You just rejuvenated me with that right there. Yeah. I'm back, man.
Yeah. Hey, real shit. I hit motherfucker. I'll hit him again. He's like, woo. I'm like, oh, shit. Hey,
I seen that before at school one time. Nigga got knocked out.
Yeah.
And nigga kicked him in the face. He got back up. Right up. Fight again.
Hey, I had homeboys. I go check him in the locker room afterwards after the fight. You like, you good? He's like, man, I'm hyped, I'm ready to go fight in front of my family, see everybody. He don't know he's got knocked out in the fourth round 30 minutes ago. but you see, that's the mind. That's the shock of, like, you can really knock some shit out of motherfucker's head. And
for real, motherfucker did already lost. They fighting in the locker room, warming up for the fight.
That's why I be telling, like, you know, I'm like fighting. I don't fight pedestrians, but, like, you fight me, I'll make you forget your name, homie.
Yeah,
you mad a motherfucker hit you, somebody asked you what's your name, you like, god damn, I don't know what my name is. Motherfucker hit me last week. That's the one thing I can't remember. I know my job, my phone number, my social kid. My first professional fight, I almost lost, man. I fought a motherfucker named James Guy with one gold tooth.
His last name was Guy?
Guy. No, Guy, like a guy.
Oh, God. James
Guy. He had one gold tooth.
Carl, he had one gold tooth.
That's why I knew I couldn't trust him. Motherfucker got one gold tooth, meaning cheap, because he ain't got two. You feel me? So, yeah, man.
Buy one gold tooth.
Exactly, right? It ain't 1999.
One gold tooth, please.
So what was so tough about James Guy?
Somebody I know named Reggie Strickland. Reggie Strickland actually has the worst record in the history of boxing.
What's the nigga record, bro?
You can look it up. It's really bad. He's from Indianapolis. But here's the crazy thing. He throws fights purposely. That's what he does. He throws fights, right? Yeah. He's a matchmaker, too, so he works on the other side of boxing. Like, he know he could get paid building other people's careers. Whoa. But one time, this motherfucker pissed him off and disrespected him, and he knocked him out because Reggie can really fight. So what Reggie used to do is Reggie used to, like, collect spit in his mouth and shit and wait for you to hit him and spit the spit out like you hit him hard. Because he knew if he do that, you know, actually knock him out, he can go and fight next weekend and make another check taking the L versus you knock him out, and now he can't fight.
Oh, wow.
But somebody disrespect him, some upcoming undefeated fighter, 15-0, 15 knockouts. Reggie is like 60 wins or like 400 losses or some shit. Reggie slept this motherfucker. But guess who Reggie know? Reggie know Beeman, old man Beeman. Yeah. I was talking about. You know, this old 90-year-old man who slept a young dude. He This man had a breathing tube on, right? He had a breathing tube on, like an IV in his arm with a little, you know, old man had a little pad, little patch of cotton with a little tape over it.
Yeah,
and he had liver spots. So it's an old ass man. Somebody disrespected him, whatever the case was. They hopped in the ring. He pulled all that shit off and whooped him, stuck him out. Hopped back and put his breathing mask on and everything. This motherfucker, they both know each other. Because the boxing I know was like, we don't punch the target. We punch through the target. It's like L.A. known for, West Coast boxers known for, you know, similar to how your swag is and how you talk. I'm going to press you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't no punk. I'm about to give you these hands. Usually the mentality of wherever you're at is how you're going to, how they're going to box.
Right, right. Like basketball.
Exactly. Yeah. Philadelphia, you go to New York, it's going to be different than down south than it is in the Midwest. The Midwest, everybody's strong. So like coming up, motherfuckers are strong. They may not be fast, but if they hit you, they putting you to sleep. So that's why I got good at being sharp because, like, there, everybody's strong.
Right, right.
What's there? Corn.
Yeah. Corn fed, just,
Motherfuckers are strong.
So the guy that's 60 and 400, his name is Reggie.
His name is Reggie Strickland. And well, he's, like, been behind some of the biggest fights in boxing. He's built some of the biggest records. But, you know, it's a white boy named, He knocked out Hector Chavez. Not Hector Chavez. No, he knocked out the Puerto Rican. What's the Puerto Rican name with the escrow? Hector Camacho.
Hector Camacho?
Yeah, he knocked out Hector Camacho, and you can look this up. His name is, can't even think of his name. But the crazy part, man, if he's watching this, I ain't even trying to mess with you, man. Like, we tight. But he wear a toupee, right? So I tell people all the time, like, he knocked out Hector Camacho. He's like, man, this motherfucker didn't knock out no Hector Camacho. Hector Camacho knocked that shit off his head. You feel me? He got a whole toupee on his head.
During the fight.
Yeah.
Knock my toupee.
His name is
off.
Craig. His name is Craig.
Is it?
His name is Craig Hawk, I think. Look it up. His name is Craig Hawk. Look.
Fight over.
With a C. Not a K. It's with a C, not a K.
Okay.
That's wild. So there's an actual profession of people who help. It's not a promoter. It's just people who help build fighters' records.
I mean, like, some people, you call them, like, smoker fights. It's like fights you have, like, not a casino, but, like, maybe conventional. Everybody's just drinking. Or maybe, like, at a hockey arena. Those are smoker fights.
Right, okay.
Where, like, the ring girls is ugly and shit. You call smoker fights, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you walk into the ring, you stepping on peanut shells and chicken bone wings. These are smoker fights.
Yeah.
So at a smoker fight, man.
Smoker fight.
This boxing culture, man, it's something you gotta know. You gotta be a boxer to know this shit.
Smoker fight, you have a, you pay to get on the card. So you pay for a slot fee, maybe $500 to get on the card.
Wow.
And then you can bring your own opponent. You'll pay for your own opponent. So you're paying somebody to fight you. But here's the thing, even though he knows he's going there to lose, he's still gonna try to win. So if he lands a punch, he can knock you out. That's what's crazy, right? So that's the scary part. Like, I know I'm not about to get knocked out by some motherfucking 60 and 200. You feel me? Like, 60 wins with 200. Like, can you imagine that? So I fought this one dude, man, named Rayco Saunders. They call it Journeyman.
Yeah,
I fought this Journeyman, right?
Why did they call him Journeyman?
It's called Journeyman because these guys are, like, guys who had a great record, was going up, but something happened, but they decided to stay in boxing because they make money that way. So usually they got a lot of losses, but they know how to survive, and they're still kind of dangerous. But they know they're going. They know they may lose. They're going to lose, but they still, they fought like world champions. So you gauge yourself against how quick you can knock them out or how quick you can stop them.
Right.
Because if say Andre Ward stopped him in 10 rounds and you stop him in 6, okay, getting somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
So Andre Ward tried to, but if I could do it in 6, then that's just an example. Right. So I fought this guy named Rayco Saunders, and he had fought like Andre Ward and a couple big names. And afterwards, too, with Journeyman, you ask them after the fight, like, you know, what should I have done different? Because they've been in there with the top guys.
Right.
And they're used to feeling certain beatdowns to let you know, okay, this was the beatdown. He's doing this well. He's doing this. They can tell you, like, when I was hurt, you should have hopped on me this time. Or you was over me too much. You shouldn't let me breathe. You need to be on me right here. Or you're on me too much. They can tell you these things by experience. Mm, sometimes it's better than the coach because the coach is, he don't know what it feels like getting his ass beat. 17 times.
So they give you notes on the ass whooping you gave them?
Yes.
That's dope.
I'm saying not all of them do. Only
ones
that do. Huh?
What journeyman gave you the best notes?
Man, I'd probably say the last one I just fought. His name was I didn't just fight him, but I took a 2-fight deal. So I'm gonna say this for everybody watching. I took a 2-fight deal to fight Dave Morrell. Dave Morrell has the WBA world title right now. So I took a fight, like a tune-up fight, on the same card as him. and I was gonna fight him the next fight. So I signed a 2-fight deal. They ripped up the contract after they seen me whoop this other guy. Mm-hmm. So the guy they gave me
fought. Fight that motherfucker.
Yeah. So the guy they gave me, he's a known journeyman. So like usually he give motherfuckers run for their money. He don't get knocked out. He don't get stopped. Like he's slick. He might whoop your ass. He's from Florida. A little mean motherfucker. So I got in there with him. And the first jab I hit him with is like an explosion of blood just psh, right in my face.
Damn.
Because now I'm learning how to box as a different boxer.
Right.
Like now I'm learning to be a real fucking weapon to lock shit. It's different than just hitting people.
Right.
I'm hitting you with a pole at this point. Because now I'm perfecting over it. And I don't train with boxing gloves. I train with old school mittens. You know, little mittens?
Right.
Yeah.
I train with mittens on. So when I'm punching, everything is locking. I'm locking everything. A boxing glove? I don't use that shit no more.
Right. Right.
Anyways, I hit him with the jab and psh, closed his eye, everything. He said he's never been hit that hard in his life. And he fought some of the hardest punchers ever in my weight class.
Right.
He told me, man, anybody that feels your jab, he said, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do because he said, like, he panicked. He didn't know what to do.
Wow.
So it's like my coach, I haven't even known my own power because my coaches that I had who didn't know shit, when they found out I could punch, all they wanted me to do was punch.
They tried to just turn you into a
Yeah, like, he could punch now. We're going to make him knock everybody out. And we can see, like, we made him do that. Like, nah, I'm a boxer puncher. I want to work what works for me.
Right.
So, like, with this coach, he slows everything down to where, like, everything I do now is dangerous. Everything got power on it. How? Because I'm relaxed.
Right,
It's like a dead body. A dead body is heavier because it's completely relaxed.
Right.
Than it would be moving and alive.
Right.
So
right.
I had that same physics to relax and then slinging some shit. Like James Toney is the most relaxed fighter to ever walk this planet.
Right. I mean,
there will never be a fighter as relaxed as him.
Man. Right. He turned that neck just
He having fun. One second. We're going to play another song. Look, hold on. Before you play the song, it's called Emmett Till.
Oh, shit.
I made this song
dope.
From the perspective of a pimp that's pimping white bitches to get revenge for Emmett Till's murder.
Ooh, this is good. You made this song?
Yeah. It's called Emmett Till, man. Go ahead and play that Emmett Till, man. Turn the mics off.
It's a dope record.
Nigga, this for Emmett Till. Met her at a bar and grill. She asked me for some pills. Whistle while I'm working, always over, never under kill. Ran about a bullets, had to switch it to a coca deal. Made that candy rain, cause on the fly, I'm so for real. 104 gram, going ham on this bogus deal. Sniff it off the bus stop, off of dirt and gum and whatnot. She got the grease freaking, and I told her this is where the buck stops. I know I sold you fake dope. You might have been with them folk. And them folks on impulse give info. But you cool. Got her what she needed. Pottery was seated. Grew into a funk fashion. Raw dog and evenings, too soon. She showed up with a young boy after a blue moon. She might be the father, can we honor him with 2 spoons? I'm thinking that we're done here. There's a nun with a gun here, acting like a son here. This gonna hurt the car of you, but I got about 2 more of you. Cause for every tear, there's a volunteer. Here's my bitch, my proxy. Your father was a Nazi. Started harring you, gave him a black grandchild exploring you. Niggas have a hand and don't play it right, day and night. Ownership to customers with playing like daylight. With that in mind, take a trip in the blind to Spokane, where it's a bigger difference than time. And oh man, we can get this sifting through fine. Too smart and too dark and subject to spine. And there's not a Agonzaga, that's another saga. Too many daughters with mother, father, that's a utter bother.
Yeah, you're right.
Diligent dummy, into the money, preferably funny. Hop on her mother's couch and start getting it from me. So white, but if a nigga left, she would know right. Might be related to Snow White. Trip, so white. If Emmett Till seen her, think, that might be that bitch. No dice. She's working for me now, Mr. Till. She's a lowlife. If Joe's bite, on her. Yeah, that's bold. She charges the same niggas that killed you for that lie she told.
Changing slavery in books for children to involuntary
servitude,
like involuntary slave worker,
yeah.
some crazy shit. Not indentured? The word slave, no, it's involuntary.
They taking that out. Their movements around the country in Michigan. I was in a Twitter space today where like Michigan and like all throughout the country where they're taking Black history in general out the books, like the few inventions that they mentioned that we had. They trying to wipe all that out, man.
Yes, make every it seem little like thing. America was just good, all love and Jesus.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. It's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
They said they was doing that last year. I remember hearing about that last year.
It's awful.
How you gonna make history PC?
Yeah.
Motherfucker, this is what y'all did to us.
Right.
Just because it's uncomfortable for you to talk to around your kids, because you wanna, you wanna convey this weird imagery that you know, white folks have always done right by motherfuckers and got, you know, no, it's you. Your great grandparents were evil.
Yeah,
some of them motherfuckers still living.
Some of them are still living. The bitch that killed Emmett Till, they just put an arrest warrant out for her. And this shit happened.
Get the fuck out. That was 70 years later. Yeah. That what happened? The arrest warrant. The arrest warrant had been out. What happened was the arrest warrant. They sent out an arrest warrant initially, but it never got to her. So when the pressure got started mounting for Carolyn Bryant to be arrested a few years ago, their excuse was, we can't find the arrest warrant. So some people like kind of busted up in the police station. They went to the basement and they found the old arrest warrant from like way back in the 50s. And they're like, okay, we got it now. So all for the last week, you've been having people pull up to her old folks' home. All of her addresses, it's been like hundreds of people sitting out front like, y'all need to arrest her. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if y'all check my Instagram, I called earlier today, the district attorney, they're all their phone number and email. Look at my IG at Dewan B. I posted their phone numbers so for people around the country to call in.
Snatch her out that hospital bed, take the IV out her arm, knock out any doctor or nurse that try to stop you, put her old ass in the back of that squad car, take her to that same river, and make her go swimming.
Hey, I bet, shit, every warrant that, if we ever got a warrant, that motherfucker found his way to us.
Oh, man.
We didn't say we didn't see it.
Quick, fast.
Oh, yeah, see it, but y'all ass going to jail.
Right.
And it'd be one thing if, okay, y'all, it's on one hand, they erasing the history, but even more so, they taking away, like, what we did. Like, y'all just, okay, y'all not going to mention the fact that we black people owned cars long before Henry Ford. I mean, invented cars long before Henry Ford. Y'all gonna take out the fact that we invented the light bulb and bioengineering, and y'all don't say y'all want to take out what y'all did to us. Then y'all gonna take away what we did for ourselves.
I mean, look at what's happening.
Make sure you switch the view to whoever's talking, please.
There was a brother that was inventing a water powered car, and he just so happened to die in a mass shooting.
Oh yeah, Buffalo.
You feel me? Situations like that. Every person who's created a water powered car and water power anything has been obliterated.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Was that recent?
Yeah. that was that Buffalo shooting.
Nigga that did the water. Oh wow.
Show only watched 90s movies.
I'm just saying, look at it. Like I say, my mother's Cuban, right? No Latin kid, Hispanic kid, goes and shoots his grandma in the face. Right. And then he had this brand new truck and these high tech guns. Where do you get money? It's a poor little Hispanic kid. Where do you get money to do that shit? His grandma didn't give it to him.
Uvalde thing?
You know what I'm saying? It's like, even like in Chicago. When we lived in Indiana, I was around this shit all the time. It wasn't like gang killings and shit like it is in L.A. You had these little Chicago cats running with these guns, but they're finding them in crates. These abandoned crates in alleys in Chicago.
Same way they found them out here.
With these high-powered rifles. Who's putting them there?
Yeah.
We're not putting them there to kill ourselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's just like being in the Midwest and was born at the Ku Klux, the KKK was right down the street. It originated at Martinsville, Indiana.
Yep.
I lived in Plainfield, Indiana. That's where Mike Tyson got locked up at.
Mm-hmm.
So when my mother sent me away at 13 to Vegas because I was fighting with the racist white motherfuckers there. I was fighting with all of them because Martinsville, they still have Confederate flags on the trucks, on their shirts. Avon, they had Confederate flags on their shirts, shit like that. So I'm fighting with them because it's what? Freedom of speech, self-expression. But if you wear a weed flag or a Black Panther shirt or something, I don't like it. It sends out distress. We don't like how it makes us feel. It makes us feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So it's like growing up, it's like I experienced that side of racism, which is like a time period I shouldn't have been in. It's like the 60s or 70s because it's still just as like when they look at you, it's a sense of entitlement like you're supposed to.
You've been called a nigger before.
Oh, of course. It's the only place where I've been called a nigger was in America. I've traveled all across this world, and unfortunately, the racism I receive isn't from, let's say, we call white people. Because in the hood of black people, white people are what? People who have white skin,
right,
what we think of. But there's people in England that look like the white people in America, but they don't talk to me or treat me in that class.
Right.
Or when I went to Armenia, when I went to Puerto Rico, it's white people all across the world, people of all skins and color, but it's just like in America, it's okay to talk to somebody this way because or feel entitled that you can share your opinion because of somebody's skin color, how they walk, or how they talk. Let's be real. You're entitled to your freedom of speech, but it's consequences to what the fuck you say.
Right.
And that's the issue now. Yeah. And consequences is coming firsthand. But right. You know, we have all these rules and regulations to protect people and their rights. I said this, but you can't put your hands on me.
Has another right. fighter ever called you a racial slur?
Of course.
Who?
I don't know. I know they have, though.
In their language.
You know what? Actually, no, in Armenia, I was fighting for the junior worlds in Armenia, and a guy kept calling me monkey and racist slurs, and I body slammed him, kicked him, and got disqualified. And on the way out, I'm fighting with Armenians and started a whole riot in Armenia.
Mm. Oh, well, that's good. That's wild.
Hey. I'm sorry, I'm itching to tell you this, but I gotta tell you what happened when we was at dinner.
Let's talk about it. We went to dinner the other night. We was chilling, man. We was eating some food. Me, him, and his beautiful, you know, girlfriend. And
don't say wife. She gotta earn that first. She's like him, yeah. His beautiful spouse, his wife. You got her hype over there. She hype like tu sabe, cabrón. Don't talk to her crazy Puerto Rican ass person.
So we at Yard House. What happened?
So we're at Yard House, and I got my little dog next to me. I'm sitting with you. You're across from me just how we are now. My girl's next to me, and his friend is next to him. I got my dog next to me. She tells me, you know, the dog keeps barking. Put your hand in here to keep the dog, soothe him, keep him cool. So I'm like, all right. I'm talking to him, and I touch my dog. I'm touching his little chest to keep him cool, and I get to his paw, and he's always really hot. So I'm like, okay, he's mad hot right now. I'm touching his little hand. And you know what essence is? Somebody says essence, they do this shit with their hands.
Like your aura?
Or something like the essence of something.
Yeah, right.
Right? Well, I did three fucking essence hands like this.
I did
with
essences.
With his little hand. In the middle of talking to him, I'm realizing that I just essence hand a whole piece of shit.
Oh.
With my motherfucking hand.
Oh, that's why you looked across.
Yeah. Now you know, right? So I got a, I'm talking about like a, I got a, I'm surprised. Like, how big is this piece of shit in my fucking hand? Take a Twix. It's like a Twix in my fucking hand. I just squished around, right? That ain't the worst part. So I'm like, you know what? I got to keep it gangster because I got my hand inside. He's talking to me. And he's looking at the dog and shit. And it's like mess material. So I don't know if he can see shit all over my hand. I'm like, obviously he didn't because he popped back up and he's like talking and shit. So I'm cool about it. You know how little napkins and shit be. Has a little like little paper sticker, keep it closed up. The silverware.
Yeah.
I pop it just like down the table, grab a napkin, put it over my hand, tell my baby, hey, I gotta go, baby. I'm going to the bathroom. So I slide to the bathroom. She get crazy. Go to the bathroom, and a motherfucker comes right behind me, but I'm not expecting him to be behind me because the door didn't close.
Right.
I take the napkin off, and I got shit. All through my hands, on the back of my hands.
Essence your hand.
And essence the motherfucker. I'm talking to him like, and we talking about comedy. So I'm like, yeah, I feel that. Yeah. Like,
this is warm.
So
hey, at one point, I was high as a motherfucker, and I was staring behind him. Just, you know how sometimes you knock you in. And I remember you look back like, what the fuck is this nigga staring at?
I'm thinking like, damn, he must have saw shit on my hand.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's smelling. I'm like, man, I know these motherfuckers smell all this shit in my hand, right? So I got the napkin over it. I'm standing in the bathroom. The motherfucker comes right behind me, right? And I took my napkin off my hand. And all he sees is me standing by the fucking paper towel machine with shit all over my hand. So before I could say anything, he just stops and was like, whoa. So what he do? He stops, whoa. And he just walks out. I'm like, bro, it ain't even like that, right?
This ain't my shit on my hand. This is somebody else's
shit. This ain't my shit. I made a video of that shit too, right? I showed it to her in the car, like, look what the fuck I had to deal with. She was like, I would have never known. I said, man, I'm over here really, like, everybody know I got shit all over my hand right now. I know they can smell it because people walking past the door, he's so cute.
Hey, you said earlier, you know, as a boxer and in the game, you know, shit come to you, you know what I'm saying? Trainers and man, maybe that was a sign, man. Before you get in the ring, man, you know, clam your hand up with
man,
shit.
Fuck
put the
all
gloves
that.
On.
I ain't ran no shit.
Yeah, he said,
because that ain't against the rule.
Nah, he gonna do that shit when he fight Tyson. That's the only way his ass gonna win. Still underneath the motherfucking gloves.
Shit gloves on.
He gonna try rubbing in his eyes like homeboy did to Ali. Listen to Ali. He gonna be shit in his eyes.
I'm gonna turn Mike into your dog. I'm gonna beat the shit out of him.
Okay.
Shit out them shorts, man.
I mean, every man tired of talking shit. But Mike Tyson pop up walking through this door. Cause
You ever hit somebody so hard they shit on themselves?
Yeah, I did that in Armenia too. You got east from Lithuania. I hit him and he shit on it. It's like a little ball of shit just rolled down his leg.
Hit
him in the stomach. Cause overseas, a lot of fighters still fight the original style of short shorts and like jock strap. They don't wear like underwear and briefs and shit like how motherfuckers did in the '80s with the assless jock straps and shit.
Yeah.
Under like your football gear, they fight with that underneath their shorts. So if you shit, there ain't nothing keeping the shit from falling out your ass. Because you ain't got no drawers on. You got a jock strap on. So I hit him and it hit the ground. I'm like, whoa. And he fell in, he fell into the shit and started crying. Everybody knew me.
Fight over.
Yeah, dog.
Everybody ever made you shit on yourself?
Man, almost. Miguel Cotto almost made me shit on myself.
That's a name right there, Miguel Cotto.
Miguel Cotto, I just got with Manuel Story. Went over to Florida. He's having training camp, I think, for some Australian guy. And man, my fucking hit me so hard, I thought I was dead.
Yeah, it's cold one.
Before fights, do y'all usually take a shit before the fight?
Man, I take a shit before training, but before the fight, you got to. If you don't, like, you know, you may have to piss during the fight. If you got pissed during the fight, you just piss during the fight. What the fuck are you gonna do? They don't let you. Ain't no timeouts.
Damn, that's deep.
So you piss on yourself during the fight,
man? I piss more than R. Kelly piss during the fight. That's a lot of piss. You're doing a fight.
You sweating, so you can't tell nothing running down your leg.
No, you can't take a bathroom break during the fight?
No. I got
the fuck? What?
I know. Yeah, take my gloves off real quick. Hold my pee-pee for me. Nah. You have to just...
I thought that's what the ring girls were for.
Have you ever held a shit a whole fight?
No. I ain't had to, because I know that feeling being at the gym. My mom said I can't go to the bathroom. What? You better hold that shit. Hell, you better squeeze your cheeks. I'm like, what? Shit. After my mom...
Niggas don't talk
my
about
my mom the... was like Michael Jackson's daddy. No cap. My mom was like, as far as realizing the skill and like pushing it and perfecting it, and, like sharpening it.
Yeah.
That was my mama, dog. Like,
yeah.
So it's common. I didn't mean to change that. Go ahead. In the mama. It's common for fighters to pee on themselves in the ring.
All the time. Football players piss on themselves every day. They don't say shit. Offensive line or defensive line, like constantly
in
on
your
the field,
shit, in your pads. Yeah.
Yeah. Offensive line, because that's part of like when you offensive line, you
the
it's
one
nasty.
The shit. Yeah,
it is nasty.
It's nasty. Offensive line, nasty.
You know, I play ball, so I know exactly. Yeah. Defensive line, offensive line, you right there. You ain't going nowhere. You in the mud of it. You in the muck. All the crazy shit happen. If you're playing nose guard or any center, you in the midst of hell every play.
Yeah, it's...
So you have been in the ring on TV fighting nigga pissing on yourself.
Yeah, nigga whooping his ass, pissing. What no gangster than that? I'm a piss on you and I'm whooping his ass.
Bro, I never would have. But yeah, nigga, that's a long time.
I mean,
yeah.
We don't got timeouts.
Because you want to, like, we got to be stinking. Like,
take a knee. That's your timeout.
What's the most gait? What's the most weight you gain the day of the fight?
I want to say most is kind of average. Like, usually when I was fighting light heavyweight 175, I'll come back in the ring maybe like 189. But at 168, I come in the ring about 83, 84.
Does that make a power difference, the extra weight?
Depends on how you lose it. Some people lose it right before. Some people lose it weeks out. So they can't put it back on because they lost it so far out, the body shrinks down. Yeah. Some people put it on right after, like... good fighter. Yeah, he don't know the name, not Canelo, but Roberto Duran. But he put on so much, he would drink coffee and steak and put on pounds, and he'll be like a log in water. You know how a log in water just floats?
Yeah.
As when he fight, he would just be there, and it's just all gushing around.
Yeah. We're 4-6, right?
Yeah.
We're 4-6, right?
No. I got you till 5:30.
Okay. All right, we're going to play another song.
There's a nun here.
We're going to play. He going to shoot, man.
5:15, really.
We're going to play. He going to shoot. We're going to have to wrap it up.
I don't want to see my mother cry. When you black, it ain't no other side. Your death is like my brother died. Moment, helping hand, loan it.
The troops not here to pacify the struggles in my nuclei. Won't it change a man to a dangerous man, especially when the bangers change in hand. Survival evolving black men into another clan. But there's no robes, just diamonds and earlobes and bitches that like to probe. Encoded, like you like me, might be strike three. But we're not playing baseball, we're playing to be free. Bogus, new president's the virus, it's killing off the vibrant. Ridicule the silence, notice.
That's my people in them.
He gon' shoot. She gon' scrap, uh-huh.
It's just my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap,
uh-huh. That's my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap.
We put a Christmas tree in the trap. It's just my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap.
It's been hard, but it's gon' be alright. That's my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap, uh-huh.
It's just my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap, uh-huh.
That's my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap.
We put a Christmas tree in the trap. It's just my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap.
It's been hard, but we gon' be alright.
I've had it up to here, like damn near there. Trustworthy baseheads, fanfare stare. I'm big enough to take it, targeted the placement, then keep it under wraps, like rhyming in the basement. When I had hair, developed my philosophy, inherit real estate. Yes, it means a lot to me, so hater, what's the band for? I muscled in clam core, my gang full of landlords, and nobody wants to stand for.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap, uh-huh.
It's just my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap, uh-huh.
That's my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap.
We put a Christmas tree in the trap. It's just my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap.
It's been hard, but it's gon' be alright. That's my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap, uh-huh.
It's just my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap, uh-huh.
That's my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap.
We put a Christmas tree in the trap. It's just my people in there.
He gon' shoot, she gon' scrap.
It's been hard, but we gon' be alright.
Ah, the chill never with us.
It's niggas all around me, few of them lifeguards that probably want to drown me, watch me swim. I bet on misses, not that I gamble on shambles, but we know bitches, yeah, we know bitches. She be with me, him and her, and drug dealers selling that funny white. You know that real Bill Burr, foil me with loyalty, still kill purr. Get your bell rung, you held on to Fleetfield fur. I don't know who loves me, I just know who shoves me and who won't plug me, cause it'll be too lovely and evil. First, I'm at a bar as my avatar, cause even in the metaverse, I'm still a star. I'm digital cool, I'm into the moon. Bought some property on OpenSea. Passwords don't need the key.
Bloggers become hackers, decentralizing factors.
My money got my face on NFT. I'm digital cool, I'm into the mold. Bought some property on OpenSea. Passwords don't need the key.
Bloggers become hackers, decentralizing factors.
My money got my face on NFT. Her mentality was leopardess. She might have been a Methodist girl, cause she was waiting on God to come back and he was here. Reality is effortless. It's coded in the messages, girl. It's plenty of fish pulling people in poles off the pier. We're no longer the hunted. It's really about who wants it, who wants what we want more. Fuck the dumb shit clear. I'll be at a bar as my avatar playing Galagar.
Use the bitcoins to buy beer.
I'm digital cool, I'm into the moon. Bought some property on OpenSea. Passwords don't need the key.
Bloggers become hackers, decentralizing factors.
My money got my face on
NFT.
I'm digital cool, I'm into the moon. Bought some property on OpenSea. Passwords don't need the key.
Bloggers become hackers, decentralizing factors.
My money got my face on
NFT.
Back to the
Like a fire extinguisher, you know?
Like this.
And then
shot him in the face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or they got
some shit called. Are we back? We gotta wrap. Yeah, we gotta wrap the show up, man. It was a mistake made on something, man. So we gotta wrap it up here shortly, man. Thought we was gonna be going to six, but
Mike Tyson didn't like his comments, so he's shutting us down
right now. Hopefully,
hopefully,
man.
Hopefully, man.
He told you leave. He said leave the knife inside and meet him outside.
A few people, man. I need you guys to send me pictures so I can get you the 20-second roast video with your album that you purchased. A few people didn't do it. Somalia Black, Delano Thompson.
Some motherfuckers really want to be roasted, huh?
Delano Thompson, Ebony Brandon, Latroy Wilson, Ashley Planks, David Davis, and Safet Masanonovic, and Jamari Wigan. You guys are the only ones who ain't sent pictures, so you got to send a picture with your pre-order of the album, and then you'll get the downloadable album, you know, today or tomorrow, whenever you send that picture. So make sure you send that, because I definitely want to do that video for you, as promised. And did he call, or we got to wrap the show up?
Yeah.
All right, cool. No worries, man. So, yeah, normally we got a 2.5-hour show. Today is only an hour and some change. Sorry, y'all, but we'll figure it out next time. Tell everybody where they can find you at.
@_TheMagician You can find me on Instagram.
The Show. Yo, what's up, man? It's be your boy, The Real DJ Show, man. You can find me on Instagram, The Real DJ Show. Make sure you follow me on YouTube, Plan A Radio. If you need a write-up or article on your mixtape or single, make sure you DM me, hit me up. Also, we're doing a versus battle on my YouTube, Plan A Radio. We're giving out $1,000 tomorrow. So if y'all interested, make sure y'all tap in. Shout out to Mimics.
That's right. IncenseAndAshrays.com is live now. Got the podcast going on, breaking down music history and music present. Got the Black American Music Family Tree, tracing our music back 400 years on this land. I want y'all to get that. And also, the book is dropping soon. It's dropping soon. So sometime in the next few weeks, the book, Tell It Like It Is, The Art of Loving Communication, that's dropping real soon.
Yeah, I'll go get that shit. Hey, you already know what it is. Bad Boy Blaze. Shout out to myself. That's OOBLZ at Instagram. 00BLZ. Holla backwards. Peace.
Hey, man, make sure y'all download that Chill Never Withers. I play more of it. I play it at the beginning and the end of each episode. Make sure y'all download that. Purchase it. You know, we got a lot of fire stuff on the way. Check out the website, thecraigsmith.com. And if I owe you something, get it from God, nigga. God, God, God.
Shout out our sponsors, Head & Shoulders Body Wash.
Who's Leroy?
Oh, my bad, nigga. My bad.
I'm going to get your pity pop no ass.
Okay, nigga. Oh, man.
Ready to roast, nigga.
I'm ready to roast.
Hey, we're going to roast the next time you come.
Sound like a kid. Shit, I nigga. On the profile, oh me!
You know you can't whoop a nigga. You make
yeah.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.